All right, to kick it off hour number two, we are the home team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Appreciate you listening today. And, you know, listening has never been easier.
That's a beautiful segue, by the way.
You can find us in more places than just your old car radios. If you're not in your car as much these days, if you have smart speakers at home,
the app,
you can get us there. You can get us on the 960 The Ref app. Also, all of our on-demand content. And later on today, sometime this evening, there will be a new episode of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. So you can check that out. So get the 960 The Ref app if you are on an iPhone. Find it in the App Store. If you are on an Android, you can get it in Google Play. And if you've got the at-home smart speakers, whether it's Amazon Dot, Alexa, Google Play, Sonos, all you got to do is say, hey, play 960 The Ref, and we will we'll be booming all over your house. So you get Dave and Logan in the morning, Dog Nation Daily in the afternoon, and then Jeff and me here in the afternoons for what normally would be your ride home, but you know, maybe now not so much if you're working from home and you also don't have a lot of those after school activities with the kids anymore.
All right, I wanted the great Brian Jester he tuned us in because you've got the stuff archived, right? You can go back and listen.
Yeah, the every day the 5 at 5, which we're about to get to,
yeah,
will be put in our on demand library, so you can go and check that out. Yes.
So the great Brian Jester was listening in up in New York.
Okay.
And he had some guys to add to our wrestling list.
Oh, okay. All right. Fantastic.
Throw it in. This was one of the great jobbers of all time. He passed away this past decade. The great SD Special Delivery Jones.
Who, I don't think it's the record anymore, but
was
he...
13 seconds?
He was previously the fastest beat at WrestleMania when he lost to King Kong Bundy in WrestleMania 1.
Okay.
But I think that's been beaten by maybe The Undertaker beat, I want to say, Jimmy Superfly Snuka in a relatively short period of time.
Well, he was on the seniors tour at that point. Baron Von Raschke with the claw.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. The Magnificent Morocco, Chief Wahoo McDaniel. He's also a Bushwhackers guy, Chief J Strongbow, and this is one I'd forgotten about, Moondog Spot.
Yes, the Moondog family. There were other Moondogs, but I remember Moondog Spot. He'd had that big bone he would carry to the ring with him.
You remember the Missing Link?
Oh, heck yeah.
He had that hair.
That little tuft of hair, and he would pull it, and he had like the green eye makeup around... circles around both of his eyeballs.
One of your greatest repugnant pulls, I think we were playing Kentucky or Tennessee.
Uncle Elmer?
Yes. Anytime you can get an assassin in a pro wrestling, when you pulled up Uncle Elmer.
Yeah. It fit in well for either one of those schools, Tennessee or Kentucky.
So crazy.
Yeah, Uncle Elmer was in Hillbilly Jim's clan.
Yeah, of course they were.
Yeah. So, yeah. I love wrestling. Well, the old days. I'm not so much into it anymore, but
the old days. It was great. We got a lot of great tweets that have been throwing our way, so we sure do appreciate it. Our man James Brown, please, got us dialed in every day, and we appreciate everybody listening in. We're gonna keep on keeping on here, and
I've got another fun exercise we'll get to that crossed my mind today, and it was a couple years ago. Like I think I saw this on Twitter.com. But it's kind of stuck with me in the way that Best Songs with Colors has. So I'll throw something at you in a little bit. That'll be a surprise.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I threw something out there on Twitter.com, and not even Jermaine King or 42 Cobras, the question asker himself, Adam Wynn, could answer that for me. So it has to do with Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, one of the greatest movies ever. I mean, let's face it, you've got James Bond, Indiana Jones, and Han Solo in it, you know, with Sean Connery and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
You can't get any better. And you're fighting Nazis.
And it had River Phoenix, who played young.
Oh, that was a great.
He played young Harrison Ford.
That's one of the great, I think, transitions of all time, too. You lost today, kid, but that doesn't mean you got to like it. And River Phoenix's head goes down, and Harrison Ford's comes up.
Yep. He's on that boat getting beaten up in the rain.
Yes, yeah. And then the old guy off the Portuguese coast. But I've got a question from that not even anybody on Twitter or Chris's favorite site, Facebook.com.
It's a trivia question or
it's
just...
It's not a trivia question. It's a legit question.
Oh, okay. All right. You're going to give it to me, or is that going to save it for later?
We can wait till 5:30 if you got some good stuff, or we can jump into it now.
All right. The 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's start with one of our favorite Georgia football players of all time, Todd Gurley, who's been released today by the Los Angeles Rams of Los Angeles.
You remember what I said. Just hope we don't squander.
Well, we did, and so did the Rams. Although they got to the Super Bowl, but.
And we were really – would have been nice to have him touch the ball there down in the Bama red zone, down by 4 points with a chance to run two plays.
Yeah. You talking about South Carolina?
That, too, in 2014. I was talking about the 2012 SEC.
Oh, okay, yeah. You know, Spurrier brought that up not that long ago. He was being interviewed somewhere, and he didn't bring up that game where Grayson Lambert didn't throw an incomplete pass, but he brought up that one game where Georgia didn't give the ball to Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I think it had
too.
Something to do with South Carolina hiring the offensive coordinator who was in charge of that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Todd Gurley released by the Rams. Jeff, the question is, do you think he has anything left to really give an NFL team? And what are ideal landing spots possibly for Gurley? Would he make sense for the Falcons?
Yes, I think he does have some tread on the tires. I think he would make sense for Atlanta, especially since Freeman is gone and now they're 2 years removed from Tevin Coleman being there too. We talked about this some in the first hour, Chris, that I just wonder for him if he'd almost be better off saying, listen, we're going to bring you in and you know, you're going to sit for the first month or 6 weeks and make sure you're really healthy and really fresh, because when he is healthy and fresh, he's one of the utmost difference makers in the league. You know, the bottom line in this league is scoring touchdowns, and he's scored more, and obviously quarterbacks have accounted for more, but he's scored more TDs than anybody in the NFL since 2015. I just, there's something about it, and I think because just watching great tailbacks go, it's a beautiful thing that when a tailback is hurt or comes up gimpy, those injuries just seem to hurt you more. I mean, I even think about like Marcus Lattimore, who's one of the all-time Georgia killers. You know, when he went down, it just broke my heart.
It was a crusher.
It broke every. You know, when Bo Jackson got hurt with the hip, and obviously he was long removed from Auburn, and then you know, unfortunately, and I remember just thinking with Gurley, with Sony, and with Nick, you know, when it became apparent that every great back is going to have an ACL tear, you just. I just remember saying, I hope it happens in the pros and not at Georgia. And then, sure enough, with Gurley and Chubb, it happened at Georgia. I know Sony was hurt some here too, but you know, it's just a matter of time, especially with the physicality and the size and the speed of these defenders. It's the highest injury risk position in football, but there is still nothing like a great running back and the difference that they can make. And it just breaks my heart for Todd, but hopefully he'll get a change of scenery and that knee will start to get well. You know, like you said, I mean, I think Tampa now, they do have a couple of good backs already, but I'm just hoping, Chris, that he's going to wind up, and, you know, he's just a couple of years removed from the Super Bowl, that he is going to wind up with a contender. I'm going to throw another good fit for him. The Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson, because now they're ones, and yes, they're guys, and you're absolutely right with your take on it, the guys like Raheem Mostert, the guy looked like Jim Brown in the playoffs, but Seattle, the difference when they had Marshawn Lynch and he was healthy, you know, could Gurley be that great sidekick for the second act of his career with Russell Wilson? That would be the team that would make the most sense to me.
Well, we know their running back situation got so dire that they ended up signing Marshawn Lynch last year, who had spent all of last season like tailgating at Raiders games.
Yeah, speaking of guys who should have been given the ball inside the five.
Yes. But here's the Falcons' current running back depth chart.
The judge.
Ito Smith, Brian Hill,
Not familiar.
Kenyon Barner.
Should I know that name?
Yeah, he played at Oregon, and he was more of like a punt returner last year for Atlanta.
Okay.
Special teamer, and then the who was a rookie last year they drafted out of Pitt, that Kadri Allison. So they've got, you know, Brian Hill was a fifth round pick in 2017 out of Wyoming. Allison was a fifth round pick last year from Pitt, and then Ito Smith was a fourth round pick in 2018 from Southern Miss. So that's their running back depth chart right now, after Devontae Freeman with his release.
With a shaky offensive line.
Yeah, so you would think that running back is probably something Atlanta would look for in the draft with that second round pick. Edwards-Helaire would make a lot of sense, but you know, you'd also, you know, think, you know, then with the Price is Right, you don't want to spend a lot at this point on Gurley, but you'd also have a guy who's been a pretty impactful player here for his entire career.
And I would think too, kind of, Todd, at where he is in his career, he's already been to a Super Bowl. He's going to be looking to go to a contender too, and that team that feels like maybe he could be the guy to get him over the top. That's why Seattle kind of jumped out for me.
Reports are he would like to play for the Atlanta or the Dolphins.
Wow.
The Dolphins a contender? They are the favorites to land Jameis Winston.
Miami?
Yes.
I know you're not supposed to touch your face now, but...
Yeah, I know, Jeff. You just touched your face. You need some hand sanitizer. Well, you've been washing your hands, right?
I always wash All my right. hands.
Like, you're allowed to touch your face as long as you've washed your hands. Just... Although, you're still better off not touching your face, but...
I can't help it.
At least do it after you've washed your hands.
Which reminds me of one of the great Family Guy lines of all time when Peter's on a date with Jennifer Love Hewitt, and he comes out of the bathroom and yells to the waiter... Hey, yeah, that's kind of about washing your hands after you leave the bathroom. That's just for employees, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, technically, sir, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Jameis Winston.
Oh, don't do
it, Team in Miami. Week one of the 2020 regular season, Miami Dolphins, right at even money.
So that's just what you need. You're going to draft Tua. Now, here, what? Oh, my gosh. You might just have to retire for a year. If they sign Jameis and then with their second pick take Jordan Love...
And Jameis will be just good slash bad enough to lead him to a 7-9 season, which will have him, you know, picking in a spot where they would have no hope of getting Lawrence or Fields. Because Trevor Lawrence right now, here are the odds to be the Patriots starting quarterback week one of the 2021 regular season.
Uh-huh.
The favorite is Deshaun Watson.
What, are they just going to fleece Bill? Or is Bill O'Brien going to pull a Jerry West?
And just give him away?
Just go, hell, well.
Yeah. With Jarrett Stidham and Trevor Lawrence tied for number two, each at 5-1. So there's that thought out there that New England's just going to
they know what they're
hit
doing.
Rock bottom.
So, well, I mean, how could they get Watson?
Maybe just calling and just taking a flyer at Bill O'Brien and saying, hey, we'll send you Rex Burkhead for Deshaun Watson. Are you down for that?
Boy, I liked him at Nebraska.
Yes.
Sold.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Houston, that's one of those rare situations. If I'm Houston, I'm saying, Deshaun, here is a 12-year contract.
Well, I don't know, like, what his contract situation is. Is he a free agent after next year or something?
But like, elite quarterbacks don't, you know, unless they're 40. Elite quarterbacks don't ever go on the market.
No, but Watson might be wanting to get out of there. Even if, like, Houston came to him right now and said, like, we'll sign you to a $200 million contract, he might be like, no, I'll wait. Bill O'Brien's going to be here.
I would say, and those odds reinforce it even more. We obviously don't know what's happening in the smoky back rooms. We know what New England's going to do this year. But if the odds for the two of the top three choices for their quarterback in 2021 are Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, both who led Clemson to national titles, both from the state of Georgia, they are you better get them this year.
Well, you know what's interesting is none of the quarterbacks on this list are any of the quarterbacks coming out in this year's draft.
So no, that they're
So I guess that idea is like New England's just going to ride with someone like Stidham or somebody, because the only quarterbacks that are still active college quarterbacks that are Trevor Lawrence, then Kyle Trask, Mac Jones.
Yeah, they're going to.
And then Sam Ehlinger.
They're going to build.
Oh, and JT Daniels.
That's a backup at SC.
Yeah, he's the backup now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still there. I thought he might enter the portal, but I don't think he has.
So what they're going to do, they're going to build at other positions through the draft this year and just try and be as strong as they can be for whoever they fleece into their next franchise quarterback. But that would be one. I mean, Houston's going to do everything they can to keep Watson.
You would think. But now you wonder if Watson would even want to stay there.
Because that was just a dumb trade.
It was horrible.
It was stupid.
Yeah, it's terrible. One of the all-time worst.
Boy, we just summed that up pretty good. Horrible, stupid, awful, one of the all-time worst.
Yeah, that pretty much, that's it.
That's like the opposite of what you see on some of the movie reviews for a 30-second commercial. It'll have the different news. Awesome, spectacular, a thrill ride.
Yeah.
We just went oppo.
Well, they in the NFL, this modern day NFL, they just gave up like an elite wide receiver for
an injured running back.
For the Cardinals, really, he's their number two running back now, if he was even number two. Because Kenyon Drake had moved into their top spot.
That is a horrendous trade.
Jeff, moving on to the 5 at 5. Today was supposed to be the start of the NCAA basketball tournament. I want you to tell me who in your mind would have been the vulnerable in a year where it was considered wide open, who were going to be some vulnerable top seeds that even maybe already today we would have had stunning upsets.
I think Dayton would have been okay. I'd have worried more about them for the second round.
All right.
The same for San Diego State.
Like they would have lined up some rugged 8-9 game for them.
Yes. Like somebody like, let's just say Auburn was an 8 seed.
Okay, yeah.
Or Virginia. Then you're like, nyeh.
Yeah.
Because the names across the front of the jerseys, especially, my friend, for the guys with the whistles and the striped shirts, oh, they do matter.
And Auburn was, Auburn probably would have been an 8 or a 9 seed, too.
I could see something like that. So, obviously, for the teams that aren't used to being there, like San Diego State. But it's San Diego State. Gonzaga at least made their Final Four and had the championship game. I guess was that 3 years ago when Carolina beat them. But, like, for Dayton, I mean, when will they ever get another chance like this?
I'm not going to say never, but it'll be
years.
Yeah, decades.
I mean, it's just heartbreaking. And, I mean, that's another reason to me why they should have put out the bracket. So at least Dayton could have hung a banner that said, 32-1, A-10 champions, number one seed, East Regional.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Just seen a bracket.
But I'm with you. I think if San Diego State would have gotten sent east, or would it have been Gonzaga and San Diego State as the 1-2 out
west?
Yeah,
I think San Diego State, after losing the Mountain West tournament, would have ended up as a 2 seed in the west.
Gonzaga.
So they would have ended up, I think, better off than had they been the 1 in the east.
Yes.
I think Dayton would have been the 1. It would have been Kansas, Gonzaga, Dayton, and Baylor would have been the 1 seeds.
Baylor's another one I could see just being vulnerable.
I think Baylor would have been my choice. They lost 3 of their last 5 games.
And they had a 22-game winning streak, which it's one of those deals. Some of this stuff is just organic. What are you supposed to do? Not try to win games in late January? But there's also the fact, unless you're Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, and you've won 3 national titles and been to 5 Final Fours in the last decade, that at some point, just the odds of continuing to win at that level, and then to get to the Final Four, you got to go on a 4-game winning streak against one good team and one really good team and probably 2 great teams. And then to win the whole thing, you got to win 6 straight in the tournament. For the schools that usually aren't there, having that kind of success in January, early February, you just kind of feel that they might have taken too much gas out of the tank at that point. So I would have seen Baylor as a potential, at best, shaky 1 versus 8/9 in the second round.
Well, they definitely would have, whoever they would have been paired with in an 8-9 game, if it was another major conference team that they would have faced there.
Virginia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because Baylor, they lost 3 of the last 5, and one of their wins was an overtime at home against Texas Tech, and one of their losses was to TCU.
Right.
Now, I mean, I don't know, maybe they would have had their batteries recharged last week in the conference tournament, and you know they had peaked in January and February and just limped to the finish line. But it's hard to maintain that level they were playing at. But they definitely were not playing their best ball heading into the postseason, and so they would have been probably my leading contender.
One thing,
to be an early team to get knocked out.
One thing, Chris, that I have always liked, and I know this would never happen on the men's side because of TV. They're not going to give up a weekend. But I do like that the women, they finish their conference tournaments 2 weeks before. So you feel like you can kind of go all in. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to be around the Lady Dogs on many a great run. And then whether you have success and you play into the weekend, you know, because usually I've always thought – And listen, there have been great teams that have won their conference tournament and kept it rolling. There have been great teams that have won their conference tournament, lost in the first round. There's no exact formula. I've always felt like, okay, you know, if you're probably a one seed rolling, you want to win at least one game. You get to the weekend, if you lose in the semifinals, so be it. But I do like having that week in between because you feel like okay, usually the coach, we're going to give you 3 or 4 days off. Just recharge your batteries. Then we're going to get back, work on fundamentals for 3 days. Then we're going to find out who we're going to play, and you get into the scouting there. But it is like we've said for, and good gosh, I hope we get back to first world problems like this very soon. But you win your conference tournament or you play in your conference tournament championship game on a Sunday, and the fickle finger of fate sends if you play in the SEC or the ACC, which now stretches from Syracuse to Miami, and – you know, you get sent to Boise, Idaho for a Thursday afternoon game, and you're the South Carolina Gamecocks, and you just got back from Nashville at, you know, 8 o'clock on Sunday night, and then all of a sudden, whoa.
You know, what you just described there, I think, happened to Kentucky last season, didn't it? Because Calipari was chirping about that.
I mean, they should. They're never going to give them a week. And listen, and I get this is all a TV show, and the SEC championship game's on Sunday. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if there were no tournament games on that Sunday. If everything was done by Saturday.
Yeah.
Then all the teams are back at home on Sunday, and you can catch your breath a little bit. Because I'm just telling you, that is a quick turn. I mean, that happened to us in 08.
Well, I know, and that's where fine, Georgia was a 14 seed, but you don't have to set that Georgia plays the first game of the tournament, which Georgia did.
Yes, we did.
It was really almost like, all right, you guys got the automatic bid. We really don't want you in this thing, so we want you gone as early as possible. And they got their wish.
Yes, they did.
But like the Big Ten 2 years ago.
They skipped the week.
They did, and there was a question. It was Michigan.
Michigan had the run to the championship game.
Yeah, and they won the tournament, too. They won their tournament and then lost to Villanova in the title game. But there was always that thought of, like, well, is that going to hurt the Big Ten, help them, rest versus rust? And
the rest helps. Good God, they've already played 35 games at that point.
I mean, they got a team to the final, but
that's not like in baseball. Like, well, they've swept everybody. I mean, this is hoops. If you get a week off to recharge those legs.
Yeah. It was just a one-day thing.
Right.
Or a one-year thing, though. All right, the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.